United States of America versus Sequoia. Mr. Anderson.
Yes, may it please the Court, I'm Kent Anderson with the Federal Defender's Office for the Central District of Illinois, representing the appellant, Shams Uddin Sequoia. Mr. Sequoia pled guilty to distributing over 100 grams of heroin. At sentencing, he asked the court to impose a sentence below the guidelines range for, among other reasons, that his educational and employment history showed a reduced likelihood of recidivism. Mr. Sequoia was employed for several years in family business and then had his own garment and supply business in Nigeria. In Chicago, he worked an average of 267 hours a month for various parking companies. And in addition, he also obtained the equivalent of a bachelor's degree in business administration and management while he was in Nigeria. However, the district court found that these were not mitigating factors just because they didn't stop Mr. Sequoia from committing the offense. The court's reason for discounting the factors was wrong because, as this court has found, a good employment history and higher education can both be reasons for sentencing a defendant below the guidelines range. And discounting the factors just because
well,
the defendant...
They can, but they don't have to be, do they?
That is correct, Your Honor. They do not have to be. And I'm not arguing that the court could not have arrived at the same sentence for some other reason or decided that for some other reason this was mitigating, but not enough. It very well could have. But discounting the factors just because the defendant still committed a crime would mean that no pre-offense fact could ever be mitigating. As this court said in Schroeder, the culpability of a defendant who appears for sentencing is a given. This court in Schroeder further found that the fact that a defendant was responsible, for at least in large part, for his family hardship was not a determinative factor, because otherwise such a reduction would never be appropriate. Therefore, the district court in this case refused to consider Mr. Sequoia's educational employment history for the wrong reason. And as a result, this court should reverse his sentence and remand it to the district court for reconsideration. All right. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Anderson. Mr. Donovan.
May it please the court, counsel. Your Honors, the district court here imposed a reasonable sentence after explicitly considering the defendant's argument with respect to his education and his employment background. The court conducted a proper procedure of calculating the guidelines, considering 3553 factors, and then balancing all of them to end with a reasonable sentence, which was at the low end of the guideline range, in specifically 63 months, which was 3 months above the 60-month minimum that the defendant faced in this case. The defendant here is arguing that the court would not consider education and employment to be mitigating factors. In fact, that is a misconstruction of what occurred before the district court. The defendant filed a sentencing memorandum in which the defendant specifically argued that the defendant's education and employment history would decrease the likelihood of any recidivism by the defendant. That's the specific argument the defendant made in the defendant's sentencing memorandum. The court, in a 12-page order and memorandum, rejected that argument, along with going through specifically each of the other arguments that the defendant had presented in the defendant's sentencing memorandum. But specifically with respect to education and employment history, the court rejected defendant's argument that the likelihood of recidivism was lower because of defendant's education and employment. The court, in fact, said because those things had occurred before this case, the court would not accept some, I believe, law reviews and other sources that the defendant had cited as a reason to consider those things to be something that would lower the defendant's recidivism. Now, the court was not taking the position, which the defendant is saying here, that education and employment could never be considered, could not be factors. In fact, the history and characteristics of the defendant, as they were presented in the sentencing memorandum, are referenced in the court's rulings, specifically one after another, I'm sorry, in the court's memorandum, one after another. The court considered all of those factors as 3553 factors, but the defendant is the one who invited the court to consider whether or not education and employment would affect likelihood of recidivism, The defendant cited some sources. The court rejected those sources and rejected that specific argument. That does not mean that the court here was saying that education and employment can never be mitigating factors. That is not the decision that was made by the court. And specifically, I would call Your Honor's attention to the memorandum and order at page 12, where the court began to conduct what it considered the most important part of the balancing in this case under the 3553 factors by citing that the nature of the offense in this case weighs heavily in favor of a serious sentence. And then in the conclusion section of the memorandum from page 12 on to page 13 of the memorandum, the court indicated that most factors do not favor a below-range sentence, that the rehabilitation efforts of the defendant do in fact favor a low end of the range, but then balanced against the seriousness of the offense, the court indicated that that factor heavily favored a serious sentence. The court here considered 3553 factors, considered particularly the seriousness of the offense, and in fact proceeded to sentence the defendant to 63 months at the low end of the guideline range. So the fact that the court, by the invitation of the defendant in the way the defendant presented the defendant's argument, the court then rejected that specific argument. The court did not engage in what the defendant is claiming, which is essentially saying that those specific factors can never be mitigating. That is not what occurred here. What occurred was a specific argument from the defendant, which was specifically rejected by the court, and then in conclusion, the court decided to sentence at the low end of the guideline range, and that 63 months was in fact a reasonable sentence because of the seriousness of the offense. And again, the government would note that that is merely 3 months above the mandatory minimum that is required by the statute in this case. Your Honors, the government believes that the court properly conducted the sentencing procedure here, properly arrived at a reasonable sentence, explicitly considered the argument that the defendant presented, rejected that argument, and sentenced defendant to a reasonable sentence. And the government asked, unless there are any questions, Your Honor, the government asks that the conviction and the sentence be affirmed.
Thank you, Mr. Donovan.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Anderson?
Yes, Your Honor. The court in her memorandum on page 9 specifically said, although his education, employment, and reputation among family members attest to his good character, these characteristics did not prevent him from committing the instant offense. The court therefore has no reason to conclude these same characteristics will prevent Sequoia from committing additional offenses. That certainly sounds like she was saying that since he committed this offense, that obviously doesn't have a bearing on recidivism, and the logical carrying that rationale to its logical conclusion is that if something occurred before the offense, unless maybe it was, most of the things were not mitigating. I mean, something like diminished capacity, that probably wouldn't apply to, but other than that. And certainly not arguing that 63 months in this case was not a reasonable sentence, but at the same time, 60 months would also have been reasonable. And the judge.
But Ms. Anderson, if education and employment are specifically mentioned, and I appreciate your point that it's mentioned in the context that didn't prevent it from happening, the crime, isn't it implicit that awareness of that is got to be in the judge's mind when looking forward? I mean, he didn't lose his education and he didn't lose what employment he had in the as a matter of record.
I'd like to think so, but her language certainly implies that while maybe for somebody who has not yet committed an offense, that would show that they're less likely to ever commit an offense. If they've already committed an offense, it doesn't have any bearing on recidivism. Thank you.
All right. Ms. Anderson, thank you. I just have an aside I'd like to ask you. It's always good to see you in court, but I seldom, if ever, have seen you, your defender service representing the Northern District of Illinois. Is that a case arising out of the Northern District?
Yes, it's quite common that we do have cases out of Chicago because of the population base.
Yeah, no, I understand. I know. I appreciate the Central District service throughout the circuit. I just didn't realize you were picking up the load so much in out of the Northern District. Well, we thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Mr. Donovan. Case is taken under advisement.